Everything that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
I need you in my art gallery. Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. MoNCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, is working toward its impending move into Chico's historic Veterans Memorial Hall, which requires extensive renovations of that building. Towards that end, MoNCA has a special Valentine's weekend fundraising event called Fall in Love with MoNCA. The event features lots of delicious chocolates and cupcakes and champagne, but also an exhibit of artistic photographs featuring buildings and man-made structures of all kinds from all over the North State.
North State structures, from towers to tombs. So the idea is that we have photographers who take pictures of things from the North State. So that's up to Oregon, over to Nevada, and down to San Jose.
We'll get the full scoop on tomorrow's event from several MoNCA representatives, including Pat Macias. There's a play production currently on stage at Paradise's Theater on the Ridge. It's called The Tin Woman. It's a blend of drama, comedy, and lots of emotion. It's about a woman whose life was saved by a heart transplant, and she decides to get in contact with the father, mother, and sister of the young man who was the heart donor after he died in an auto accident. We talk with the cast, including Jeff Dickinson, who plays the young man's father.
Dark comedy forces us to get involved, and the magic is that, you know, we're dealing with these devastating dark themes, and we're forced to laugh, and we're not laughing because it's funny, but we're physically interacting with the story, and that's what it demands. A story like this, we need to be physically involved.
That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
Riverfront Playhouse in Reading wraps up its production of the Tony Award-winning comedy that puts a contemporary spin on Chekhov, Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. The final showtimes are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow. Thursday, the new troupe in Reading, Axiom Repertory Theater, opens its premiere production, Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot. This famous tragicomedy plays at Reading's Pilgrim Congregational Church, 2850 Foothill Boulevard. The wedding starts at 7:30. The Orland Arts Center features multimedia magic, highlighting works by two artists. Lynn Rose Light shows her watercolors, oils, and sculptures. Peter Pyatt shows his graphite and colored pencil drawings, as well as his fine art photography. The centers open 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Chico's Blue Room Theater has a new production, Taking Steps. This fast-paced farce plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. California Regional Theater wraps up its staging of Rodgers and Hammerstein's The Sound of Music. The hills are alive, and so is Chico's Center for the Arts, tonight and tomorrow, starting at 7:30. There's also a matinee Sunday at 2. Find the Center for the Arts on the edge of the Pleasant Valley High campus. Tuesday, sassy folk music comes to Sierra Nevada's Big Room in Chico. An Evening with the Tea Sisters brings you this contemporary folk band performing covers as well as originals, beginning at 7:30. Chico Art Center has its Discovery Series, exhibiting works by artists who've had limited exposure. There's a reception tonight at the center between 5 and 7, where you can meet the three artists. Chico State's University Art Gallery features Head Over Heels with paintings by Cara Maria. Gallery hours are 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Also in Chico, 1078 Gallery shows Taking Stock, a retrospective of work by Peter Joditis. The galleries open Thursday through Saturday, 12:30 to 5:30. In Oroville, at the Birdcage Theater, art imitates life in Stage Kiss. Curtain times for this romantic comedy are 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, and 2 o'clock Sunday. The Acting Company in Yuba City presents an audience favorite, the musical Forever Plaid. Four young singers were killed in an auto accident on their way to a gig. Now they get one big chance to perform in the afterlife. Showtime is 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow, with a Sunday matinee at 2. And the Acting Company's Magic Theater has a mystery to solve in Sherlock Holmes and the Case of the Dog Napper. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock, your final chances to catch this canine caper for kids. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Broadway star Kristen Chenoweth has some Valentine's Day advice. If you can learn to love yourself and all the flaws, you can love other people so much better, and that makes you so happy.
Baby, you're a priceless masterpiece. Your beauty is the perfect medley of everything good and in between. I need you in my art gallery. Baby, you're a priceless masterpiece. Your beauty is the perfect medley of everything good and in between. I need you in my art gallery.
Let's join our visual art expert, Dolores Mitchell.
I'm speaking today with Pat Macias, who is the chair of MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art. And there's going to be a wonderful event, a fundraiser, that features some of my favorite things, chocolates and Mim's cupcakes and champagne and beer. And there's going to be wonderful photography from all over Northern California of structures which you probably have never seen in your life and may not even be able to identify. Okay, Pat, tell us about it.
Well, MONCA keeps doing fundraisers, and this one is a second one with the same name, Fall in Love with MONCA 2. We are going to be holding it on February 13th at Habitat Lab, 199 East 13th Street, over by the Jesus Center. This event is called North State Structures, From Towers to Tombs. So the idea is that we have photographers who take pictures of things from the North State. So that's up to Oregon, over to Nevada, and down to San Jose. The museum is going to be housed at 900 Esplanade. It has been in existence for almost 4 years now without a real home. We've been generously endowed a collection of Reed Applegate, who has been collecting here in town since the 60s, which will be the base of our exhibitions. But we will always be having curated shows and changing exhibits also.
Well, I'm going to talk now to David Hopper, who has the wonderful task of organizing this photography show.
And thank goodness we had the experience of organizing a successful Fall in Love with MONCA show last year.
David, last year, The subject of the photography exhibition was the Veterans Hall itself. So you're staying with the idea of structures, but you're really broadening it this time.
Yes, we chose this theme. I think it's a great one, and it can be, you know, varied from towers to tombs to dams to bridges to houses. And I think it's a theme that people enjoy taking pictures of, and a theme also people enjoy looking at and hopefully take some home as a Valentine's Day present.
I'm now speaking with Emily Gallo, who is going to be talking about her book, but first she's going to wax enthusiastic about photography.
Well, I just wanted to add that in last year's show, I was volunteering and watching the photographers as they took pictures of the Vets Building. I would kind of walk around and be surprised. They'd be taking pictures in strange positions of a pipe or something in the building. And then when I saw the final pictures, I was amazed at how gorgeous these pictures were and had a hard time trying to figure out what it was that they were actually had taken a picture of. They were just beautiful, beautiful pictures. So, you know, you just don't know what to expect when you come on Saturday. You'll be quite pleasantly surprised at the good photography that will be there.
Well, David, you were saying that photographers really don't have a proper venue other than what you're providing them once a year.
We feel that Monk is presenting a unique opportunity here, and we continue to think about having a theme each year. Hopefully, when we have an exhibit next year, it will be at 900 Esplanade. The first Fall in Love with Monca, we invited photographers to come to the building itself. We had about 70-plus photographers come, and of those, between 45 and 50 presented, and we had over 120 photographs exhibited at Habitat. And so come on Saturday the 13th, 12 to 5, and see all of the wonderful photographs.
I'm now talking to Emily Gallo, and I'm looking at the cover of her new novel, and it definitely is a structure, but a very unusual one.
It's called the columbarium. Most people have no idea what a columbarium is. It's a building where there are niches with people's ashes, so it's similar to a cemetery or a mausoleum. My novel is about the columbarium that's in San Francisco, so it's in Northern California. It's an incredible building, a domed building, stained glass. It takes your breath away when you walk in it. I met someone who was looking for something to put ashes in for their friend in the San Francisco columbarium, and that's how the seed got planted. And then I went and took pictures of the niches. They're very interesting decorated niches. I then went and made up characters that had to do with the items that were in the different niches.
So, Emily, you will be at this event.
I will be signing my novel. It will be for sale there. I will also have a video of the columbarium that I've made, and I will have a picture, a photograph of the columbarium in the exhibit.
Pat, you're very interested in local oral history, particularly related to the Veterans Hall.
We talk about moving into the Veterans Memorial Hall. People will say, do you know what I did there? This is what happened. And I thought, we ought to be capturing these stories. So also during this event, from noon to 3 o'clock at the Habitat Lab, we will be recording stories through BCAC-TV, which is the new local station. People who want to come in and share their stories, we would love to get them on tape so that when we open the museum, we can have these available for people to listen to and know what the history of the Veterans Memorial Hall is.
David, you were bursting in with all kinds of ideas about what had happened in the Veterans Memorial Building in the past.
Whenever we have public come in or invite people to the physical building at 900 Esplanade across from the high school, on many occasions people have said, oh, the first dance at junior high was in the basement. The large room, 9,000 square feet, has even held car shows. They've held church in there. Exercise classes like Pilates, and we really, really cannot forget the veterans. We would not be in the building if the veterans had not gone along with the concept of Monca and allowed us to go on this project. We have three phases. We hope to finish the first phase this year, and then all of the future events will be held at 900 Esplanade. This is all community support, community fundraised, and we're really very happy to be able to begin and end phase one this year, and we need all of the support that we can get.
The Fall in Love with Monca event happens tomorrow starting at noon at the Habitat Lab, 199 East 13th Street in Chico. At Theater on the Ridge in Paradise, the current production is a play with heart, The Tin Woman. It's about a woman whose life is renewed by a heart transplant. And it's also about the grieving parents and sister of the car crash victim from whom the heart came. I'm here at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise, and I'm talking to the cast of the play that's currently on stage there, The Tin Woman. And I'm going to be talking with the parents of the young man who has passed over to the other side. Well, first we'll talk to Jeff Dickinson, who plays Hank, the father.
Hello, Tom.
This play, especially by the reaction of the audience, is definitely something that's funny. People were laughing all the way through, but it deals with very dark and tragic situations. How do you walk that line between those two things?
Sean Grennan, the playwright, did an excellent job. It's, you know, it's a dark comedy. You know, like you said, you're dealing with the devastation of the loss of a child. And on the other side, Joy's character, the Tin Woman, you're dealing with survival guilt. Do I deserve to be alive? All this stuff. And these are obviously heavy things, but the playwright has put it into this dark comedy format where that's wonderful. I think it's easily one of the best forms that we have in the theater today, because I think we're, as a society, too desensitized for tragedy. I think it just goes right over us. I don't think we connect with it. So dark comedy forces us to get involved. And the magic is that, you know, we're dealing with these devastating dark themes and we're forced to laugh. And we're not laughing because it's funny, but we're physically interacting with the story. And that's what it demands. A story like this, we need to be physically involved. And I think Sean Grennan has done a great job doing that.
How did you get inside a character who's so shut down and just closed off from everyone?
Well, I'm pretty shut down and closed off from everyone. And no, I'm joking aside. There's, you know, those touching points that you find. And Hank is very tightly wound. Even on his best day, he's tightly wound. Oh, I'm the same way. So there's that. I used a lot of myself as far as just, you know, being that, you know, tightly wound rubber band. You know, I've never had children and I've never lost a child. I've lost a sister, so I drew on that. But a lot of it is, you know, pretend on the stage. We pretend, you know. A lot of it is just committing yourself to those circumstances and diving in headlong.
We've been talking with Jeff Dickinson, who plays Hank, one of the family members in The Tin Woman. And now we'll talk to the mother of the lost son, Hank's wife. This is Teresa Hurley. Tell us a little bit about your character, Alice.
Well, it's been said that she's the heart center of the play, to have a play on words. But, you know, she really does kind of hold space for everyone in their grief, you know, and tries to make things okay as mothers do.
Do you think in working all the time so hard to make things okay for everyone else that she has not totally come to terms with things herself?
Absolutely. And I think that that's true of most women in those situations when you're attending to the details and the needs of others. That's the burden of being a mother. You know, you still, even when you lose a child, you still have that responsibility to be the caregiver. And so that's what she does.
How did you deal with the really devastating subject matter of this play and still keep a tone that was not so down in the dumps that nobody would ever want to see this?
No, that's so funny, because when I tell people even the sort of short synopsis of the play, it's like, oh, yeah, I really want to see that. But, you know, the truth is that in all grief, there's an arc. And having been through people who have gone through this or similar situations, you do find, you know, the humorous moments in it and the beautiful and the benign in it as well. And so I think that Sean Grennan has found that for all of us to be able to walk that line of pathos and humor. You have to, you know, that my family humor is a sounding board, a guardrail to those painful feelings. You have to have that to survive those feelings. And I think that they go hand in hand.
What was it like for you, Teresa, to have that character of your son who's dead and your character doesn't really see him, but he's there as a constant presence and witness? What was it like playing with another actor who didn't say anything and was basically not really there but was there?
Well, I think Brendan does a great job of having that presence on stage. It's hard not to look at him. On the bigger picture of that, you know, having had people in my own life pass away and strongly feeling their presence with me, I mean, even to the point of having the smell of their cologne or their cigarette smoke in the room, you know, and just really knowing without a doubt that they are there with me. I've had that experience in my own life. So being able to draw on that in the play is not hard.
We've been talking with Teresa Hurley Miller, who plays Alice, the wife and mother in The Tin Woman. And now we're going to talk to Hannah Lockhart, who plays Sammy, the sister of the dead young man and the daughter of the parents. You have quite an out there kind of character. Is that fun to play?
Yes, it is.
What do you like about it?
I like how freeing it is. I think that it can go to many deep places and many very funny places, and it touches on truth and the humor of the hard times. And I think Sammy lives in that place, and she's able to embrace a spectrum of emotions without inhibition. She is a tool for relief, I think, in the play. And
relief for the audience?
I think that she's there to kind of be the other side of what Hank is going through. And I think that that balance in the family with Alice in the middle holding everything kind of creates that world of life and the grief that they're going through.
We're talking with the cast of The Tin Woman, the play that's at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. Now we're going to talk to the lead actor who plays the title character, the Tin Woman. The actress's name is Susan Vesely. So what's it like taking on this play that has really so many conflicting emotions going on in your character?
The character of Joy is just so interesting because, I don't know, I just felt a connection to her. It's just very real of like having that like that struggle inside, but trying to put up a front of just like normalcy and trying to prove to other people and yourself that you're okay. She basically gave up on life and was like, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to go. I'm going to die and that's all fine. And then suddenly she has to deal with, okay, now I have to figure out like how to do life again.
Was saved by this miracle or this donation of a heart, and she has a whole new life, but she wasn't really ready to have a whole new life maybe.
And also dealing with that whole issue of like, am I even worth it? Like the fact that, you know, somebody else died and I get to live because someone else died. Am I worth it? Am I living my life in a way that honors that other person's life?
Did you, as an actor playing Joy, benefit from the journey that your character makes? You came from a really conflicted, almost I don't want to live type of place. And yet there was a unification and redemption at the end that I think renewed everybody. Was that a journey that affects you when you go through it?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think it just kind of in connecting with being an actor on stage, just I get nervous every night before I go on stage. And that nervous energy kind of adds to like the whole turmoil that she feels and goes through. And there's this cathartic release that happens, you know, it's not every day that you get to just let go and really let people know what you think. And, you know, she has an actual face-to-face confrontation with Hank, the dad. And I think that's a really cathartic, interesting thing to go through. And then at the end, just to get to hug someone like Teresa, you know, who's just such a, you know, open, warm, and loving person. Is just, yeah, there is a whole journey that not only the character takes, but that I take along with her.
I was quite amused by how guarded your character was. Don't hug me. I don't hug. You go through that, and then you do get hugs at the end, and you've broken through to a different place, it seems like.
Uh-huh. Yeah. A physical contact between people is you're asking, you know, you're asking something from them, you know, that you need something from them. And I think for someone who's thinking like, am I even worth it? Being touched is like, I got nothing to give you. Like, I don't have anything. So just don't touch me, because I don't want to have that connection. I don't want to have that responsibility to give you anything. And towards the end, she's starting to see that she does have something to offer, something to give, something that she can do. Although it's new and awkward, she's willing to give it a go.
We've been talking with the lead actor from The Tin Woman. And now we'll talk to the title character's best friend. Her name is Darla, and she's played by Nicole Collado. Describe your character.
She's just a loud, quirky best friend, funny, but knows when to tell a hard truth.
Well, talk about your relationship with Joy, the central character. You're best friends, but you're also different types of people. So what's that dynamic between those two characters?
They're basically a yin and yang. Darla is there to balance her out and add a kookiness to the show.
So is it cathartic or freeing for you to be such a wise-ass character who's just always coming up with that attitude on stage and being able to be kind of larger than life?
Yeah, it is really freeing, and I have the liberty to change aspects every night depending on the audience response or certain looks Susan gives me. I feed off of her a lot, and I feed off the audience. And that's one of the reasons I took this role, is because I have wanted to play such an outlandish character, and I've never been able to. I've been a lot more sassy in real life, though, and I don't really feel like people in my life have appreciated that.
We've been talking with Nicole Collado, who plays Darla, the wisecracking best friend in The Tin Woman at Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. The Tin Woman plays through February 21st. Theater on the Ridge. That's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in your community. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.